This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Most of you, if not all of you, might have missed a cute event during the communion. In the back row, a small child was singing, "Jesus Loves Me." I thought that was just so beautiful. We are in our last lesson in this month's series of resting in the Lord. As you know, hopefully you know, there's 5 Sundays this month, so I won't be here, nor will Kathy, next week. And so trusting in God.
city of Philippi. And that's where this story is taking place. Okay? Verse 16. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, the other thing that you'll find out in verses 11 through 15 is that outside of the city of Philippi, down along the river, was where the Christians went to pray. And there is where he met Lydia, the seller of purple. Okay? And so they've gone probably to this place along the river to pray. And we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money from her owners by fortune telling. We've all heard of fortune telling, and usually we're going to think of a gypsy sitting in a room with a round table with a big crystal ball in the middle of it, and she's telling fortunes. And people will go to her to find out their history, find out about their love life, find about, you know, whatever. And so that's what this woman did. She told the future. She was a fortune teller. Verse 17, she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Well, she's not telling the future here. She's telling the present, and she's nailed it on the head, hasn't she? She knows who Paul and the rest of his entourage are. They are servants of the Most High God, and they are telling you the way to be saved. You know, a town crier telling the truth. This is what Paul and Silas and the rest of them are doing. Hello, this is what Paul and Silas and the rest of them are doing. They're, for, you know, believers in God, and they're telling you how to be saved. Verse 18, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, not to this woman, but to the Spirit that he knew was possessing her, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. Now, in Matthew 12, verses 23 through 25, Jesus cast out demon. Okay? And the Pharisees accused Jesus of being of Beelzebub. And Jesus told them that a house cannot stand, you know, can't be divided by itself. It will not stand. Meaning that, you know, if I was Beelzebub, why would I cast out an evil spirit? Okay? Stick with me here. So here is Paul casting out a spirit from this woman. Paul, as the woman was saying, being of God, would not cast out a good spirit, a spirit of God. Because again, that would be a house divided by itself. So what that sentence is telling us is that the spirit that was within this woman was an evil spirit. And Paul cast it out. they've dragged Paul and Silas to this magistrate, and we'll find out when you read the rest of this chapter, falsely accuses them of being Jews and causing an uproar by advocating, verse 21, customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. So again, we see that the owners of this lady were Roman. They're in a Roman city, and they're accusing Paul and Silas of being Jews when, you know, like I said, you'll read that they're actually Romans, and it was unlawful for them to be doing this, advocating customs that was unlawful for the Romans to accept or practice. So things are, you know, really starting to ramp up against Paul and Silas. Verse 22, the crowd that's gathered around the marketplace joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. It doesn't say how they joined in, maybe because they've heard Paul and Silas preaching and they're joining in. This is what they're doing, whatever. We don't know, but the crowd has joined in on the attack. And the magistrates ordered them to be stripped of their clothing and beaten with rods. Now, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that none of you in your worst day was ever stripped and beaten, okay? So we see here where Paul and Silas is having a worse day than you ever had. After they were severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. You know, we know stocks, you see them in medieval times, in the center, town center, where you put your hands and your head in it, and they clamp you down in it. Okay, those are stocks. So here they have put Paul and Silas in the inner part of the prison. There's no windows to where they could escape, and they've put them in stocks or feed in stocks to where there's no way to escape, okay? So they're having a pretty bad day, don't you think? A very terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. So, you know, how would you react? How did you react when you had your very bad day? And how would you react if you were having Paul and Silas's really bad day? What would you do? How would you react? What would you say? How would you talk to other people? That's the moral of this story. Let's go on. Verse 25. About midnight, Paul and Silas were complaining and grumbling to all the other prisoners about, you know, what all was going on. No. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay, those are the scriptures that we have been looking at in Psalm, isn't it? When things are bad, sing praises to God. Read the scriptures. Pray to God. Okay? So that's the reason I'm saying all the scriptures that we have looked at in Psalm, we're seeing it here in Acts 16. Okay? Now, Paul and Silas were not just singing very lightly, you know, to each other, trying to, you know, help each other. No, they were singing loudly because the other prisoners were listening to them. They're praying and singing to God, and the other prisoners in the cell are listening to them. And it's having an effect on them, as we're going to read. It's having a positive effect on them. So here, you know, Paul and Silas are having a really, really bad day, but it's not getting them down. It's not affecting them in a way that it would affect most people. They're turning to God. They're praying to God. They're singing praises to God. And everybody around them knows this. Verse 26. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that things could get any worse, that the foundation saved. We don't know if he had heard Paul and Silas in town, if he had heard through the grapevine what was going on, or are we sure that he heard them singing and praying to God in prison? But whatever it was, he was affected by what Paul and Silas were doing. What must I do to be saved? So, your attitude, when you're having a really bad day, is being seen by others. It's being seen by your people at work. It's being seen by your family. It's being seen by, you know, whoever is around you. And what kind of a Christian are they seeing? Are they seeing a Paul and Silas type of Christian, to where they are not letting, you're not letting this terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day affect you? Or are you praying to God? Are you singing to God? Are you reading God's word? Where we will find that peace and that rest and that comfort that we've been reading about. What must I do to be saved? You know, if you are acting in the way that you should be as a Christian, people are going to want to know, how come you're not reacting like most people do? People are going to realize that, and there's a chance for you to share God with them. Verse 31. They replied, Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Now, of course, we've studied the steps of salvation, and we know that believing is not all you have to do. Okay? We know that there's more to it. Verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Okay? So here's this jailer that was guarding them in prison, has now taken them and has washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. Not just his family, but all of his servants and everybody that was living in his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. So not only did he clothe them, not only did he clean their wounds, but now he's feeding them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. How we handle ourselves, how we deal with our very bad days, has an effect on the people around us. We need to remember that. We need to remember to be a Christian no matter what. We need to act as a Christian the way God wants us to act when things go wrong in our lives. And this story here of Paul and Silas is a prime example for us to read and to understand and to follow. Because how we respond has an effect on those around us. There are a couple more scriptures that I want us to look at on finding rest and peace and comfort in God. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 5. And this one deals with comfort. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. God is where we find all of our comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles. Doesn't matter what your troubles are, whatever it is you're facing, whatever trials you're facing, temptations you're facing, God is the comfort in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. So this comfort that we're getting from God is not something that we keep to ourselves. We share it with those around us. When they are having problems, when they are having issues, when they are having very bad days, we as Christians need to be there and share God's comfort with them. Verse 5, for just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. We suffer with God's sufferings, but we also have comfort through Christ. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Remember, when we're baptized into Christ, the Holy Spirit enters us. Okay? And we should have comfort in that, knowing that a part of God is within us, that his Holy Spirit dwells in us and guides us. Verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith. And I pray that you be rooted and established in love. Okay? Christ is going to dwell in our hearts through our faith in him. And it is, I pray that you be rooted and established in love, may have power, verse 18, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp, and I wish I had seen the scripture last month when we talked about love, okay? Because this really defines God's love. To grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. You know, we might think that we understand God's love, how big it is, how vast it is, how great it is. I hate to tell you, but you do not understand it. Verse 19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You might think you understand how deep and how wide and how high God's love is, but our human minds can't comprehend the true depth of God's love for us, for each and every one of us. Okay? Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immensely more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Okay? Again, God's love is more than we can think of. And he can do more, imaginably more, than we can ask or imagine. Okay? That right there should give us comfort and rest and peace. Okay? That God can take care of any troubles, problems, strife that we face in our life. Verse 21, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I was thinking about it, you know, through all generations, and I got thinking about it, and if I remember correctly, for five generations, our family has been in the church. Okay? And that's something that this is talking about, that throughout all generations, God will be there forever and ever. And our last verse this morning is in Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. If you let the peace of God rule in your hearts, then you're going to have you're going to have that peace that we've been talking about. Since as members of one body, we were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Again, brothers and sisters, we need to read God's Word. We need to pray to God. And we've been talking about prayer in our Sunday morning class and different types of prayer and how to pray and what to pray for. Okay? And we need to sing. We need to sing to God. In verse 17, in whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Whatever you do, in word and in deed, do it all through Christ. And we will find that peace, that rest, that comfort that we so badly need in our lives. It's there for us. It is there for us. And we need to remember that. Hopefully these verses that we've looked at this month will help you in that peace, to find that rest, that comfort that you might need in your life, that you will need at some point in your life, because unfortunately we are not through with having bad times in our life. We're all still going to face struggles. We're all going to have bad days. But as a Christian, it's how we handle those bad days, how we treat others during those bad times, what we say to others, or what we just say out loud to ourselves, but others hear. And as Paul and Silas, we have that opportunity during that hard time to affect others and to share Christ with others, which is what we must do. If there's any way that we can help you this morning, if you have not put Christ on in baptism, and that's something that you realize you need to do, we have a baptistry ready for that this morning. Or you are a Christian and you're having troubles in your life, you're having struggles, and you need the prayers of your family to help you through that, let us know. Let us help you. Let your needs be known as together we stand and sing.